Blog Talk Radio.
Again for another episode, yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Danny Meow of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, indeed so very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for this precious opportunity. Yes, for this very precious opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of His people. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me directly, that for His cause, I have some very important things for Him. Yes, some very important things for Him, and for the cause of His people that I must do. And He told me because of what I must do, He said to me that I surely would accrue some very powerful friends. Yes, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him, that which He has asked of me, that I would indeed have His protection, His guidance. For that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be, yes, I can only be utterly thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, directly has He told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that indeed I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And my brothers and sisters, yes, indeed, if they could, to destroy. The Most High has surely promised, my brothers and sisters, that He shall surely bring to bear, yes, He shall surely bring to bear everything that He has spoken. It is He who restores His people to remembrance of all that He has spoken, for He shall perform every word according to all that from the beginning has been His promise. We have examined over the last, especially how things seem to really accelerate since toward the end of the last year, going to the feasts of the last year. And more as time progressed over the last even few weeks, there's much, much more, my brothers and sisters, the Most High is seeking to make His people available to, give them access to. Of the secrets of the knowledge of His mind. We've been talking about some very precious things, brothers and sisters, rare in the earth. And I thank the Most High for the opportunity to continue along the lines of this manner of discussion. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every year that he brings me in. I thank you all again for listening. We had a few little problems tonight with Blog Talk. Little technical difficulties. It seemed like Blog Talk didn't want to let me in this night to relate these things, but you keep on pushing. Things need to be discussed. And I will say, concerning the things spoken about tonight, toward the end of the show tonight, I will seek to open up the lines. 661-554-9212. I said 661-554-9212 if there are any questions. I pray the Most High for the minds and hearts to discern height, depth, and breadth. While he would desire his people as one to discern, that we indeed unto him give the praise and the honor and the glory. You know, my brothers and sisters, I think so often. Scriptures repeat in my mind so often. Scriptures tell us in Isaiah in the 42nd chapter. Let me read it for you. In fact, I want to do a little reading of Scripture tonight. Because oftentimes I know I related an awful lot of Scripture, and I just call out where the Scriptures may be found. I've repeated some of these things so many times that, I just pray that many will examine these things in the archive, go back through these, Bible, wide open. That is especially for those who might not be totally abreast of the Scriptures, which I speak. And quite frankly, I know that means a great many are going to have to back up on their Bibles, because rulers don't talk about these things. Scripture said in advance they wouldn't. Many claim to be preaching the hidden gospel. My brothers and sisters, I dare to say that what a lot of people are calling the hidden knowledge, it's actually just another facsimile of the status quo. It's written in so many ways. The Messiah comes ultimately, like I said before so many times, to reveal the light the world would obscure. Comes suddenly like the rising sun. To reveal the light the world would obscure. And to show, my brothers and sisters, that so much that men had called light, wisdom, had just been another avenue of darkness. A day comes when men will see the exceeding light, and indeed in that day we'll know the difference. I think oftentimes about this scripture in Isaiah 42. It says, "Behold my servant." Why does it say that? Behold my servant in whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delights. Put my spirit upon him. Speaking of Messiah, ultimately, if you read Isaiah 42, it's latter-day prophecy. You know that Matthew 12:18 says the same. But if we continue to read along the lines of Isaiah 42, we find out these prophecies are not in all their fruition yet fulfilled. Said, I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment, justice, to the nations, to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, or lift up, nor cause his voice. It won't be just a message after an ordinary man to be heard in the street. And a bruised reed shall he not break. In other words, his word will carry no deception to mislead anyone who is seeking toward genuine truth. And the smoking flax shall he not quench. In other words, whatever it is that men might begin to awaken to the true light, he shall not seek to quench or destroy that spark of wisdom. He shall bring forth judgment, justice, after the manner of truth, what is fair, what is just. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. He is not pleased with injustice. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment, justice, same word, righteousness in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Seek after his law. Pursue his law. How about his sense of justice? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. Think about it. In a world where men have been divided by some 45,000 denominations, 280 nations, who have men truly sought after? Whose sense of justice, my brothers and sisters? Whose sense of what is fair? I know it's something to think about. Surely something to consider, brothers and sisters, because the prophecies tell us again and again when Messiah appears that he be faced with all manner of resistance among men against discerning what is his righteousness, against discerning what indeed is the true covenant of the One Most High. Think about it. It's because men believe in an altered sense of justice that you have all these manner of different forms of bondage, sin, division, and confusion among the nations. Scripture says the time is going to come, however, when all nations shall wait for and seek after his law. Think about it. It's not the law of the Most High that men have trusted in these multitudes of differing institutions. They may try to get you to believe as such, but my brothers and sisters, I'll say it again. All the multitudes of differing contradictions, the Most High asked me simply this. Shall a man believe that he shall be justified before the Most High if he disagree with him on even one point? He told me if a man can believe all these contradictions are a work of his spirit, that man cannot possibly be a disciple unto him. Faith unto peace. Faith unto what is acceptable before the Most High. Faith unto being prepared rightly to enter into a kingdom of peace demands that man, my brothers and sisters, discern righteousness beyond the diversity of the rulers. Messiah said, you, in so many ways, your righteousness, your sense of discretion and justice must exceed that of your leaders, else you shall in no case enter the kingdom of Yah. By no means, after a multitude of contentions, is anyone prepared for a kingdom of peace. In fact, my brothers and sisters, another way we're looking at it like this, simply stated, it's not a sin seek to discern beyond the chaos that we see in this world among so many variant ideas of what is faith, variant ideas as to what is salvation, variant ideas as to what is justice. Because the fact of the matter is there is only one. Well, I want to look at a bit of scripture that relates that there must be an ultimate reconciliation. Man must come unto the discretion of what the Most High himself is pleased with beyond all else. The Old Testament prophets all spoke of what is required, what shall be required, that men wake up beyond all this massive illusions to seem wise unto men. Scripture saying that there's a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is death. Many, my brothers and sisters, the ways in this earth that seem to men to be just, with which the Most High can never be pleased. Look at Psalms. Well, how about Proverbs 14:12? How about 16 and 25? And understand. No question about it, my brothers and sisters, after massive illusions and misconceits in the world, the minds of men have been grossly preconditioned to consider themselves wise to the flatteries of the rulers and to reject the greater wisdom and will of the eye. Even, my brothers and sisters, to be pronated to receive the lesser and argue against the greater. Well, I'd like to look at a few bits of scripture. How about Messiah, Matthew 7:11? Messiah, in effect, saying, if you being among those who err, if you being among those who err, know how to give good gifts or good things, how about to judge how to give what is good to your sons? How much more will your Father, the Most High, who created all things and set all things beautiful in order, how much more will he know, does he know, how to give good things to those who ask him? How about those who pursue his righteousness? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. If all that call upon his name will seek the truth of his righteousness, to agree as one with him, to cooperate as one with him, to manifest in the earth the holy kingdom the Most High intends, that the Most High has forsworn not only to bring to bear, but preserve, how much more, my brothers and sisters, shall he bless those who ask and pursue his righteousness? Consider the point. This past weekend, I sought to explain to one who considers himself a teacher here on Blog Talk scriptures at Luke 18:18. And without question, there seemed to be so much resistance against discerning or his listeners discerning the true meaning of these scriptures. We'll look about Luke 17-18, Zephaniah, in the second, going into the third chapter. But before we go there, I'd like to bring something to mind relating the idea about exactly what the scriptures are talking about. How about Galatians, where the apostle Shaul said, Do I now seek to win the approval of men? Galatians 1:10. Think about what he said. He said, if any man preach any other word of the gospel, how about any other word is just? Any other word is true and lawful before the Most High. Anything else is fair before the Most High. If any man seeks to teach anything else as a right guidance for the people of the Most High, the scripture says, let him be accursed. Sounds like a lot of pastors in bad shape. Say, do I now seek to win the approval of men or Yah? Who do I seek, he's saying, to be found true to? Men or Yah? What people call justice or what Yah calls justice? Remember, the scripture talks about the tribe of Judah. First word concerning Judah relates, I shall now praise or give honor to Yah. So the apostle Shaul was saying, do I now seek to win the approval of men, to appease what pleases men, or Yah? He said, if I am trying to please men, he said, I could not be a servant. I cannot appease the will of the courteous, the righteous one. Yes, I know. I'm saying it. I have to say it again. We went to one of those of the early church. The concept of Messiah as the courteous, the righteous one, who reveals the exceeding light, the exceeding sense of justice, that shows so much of what the world calls wise to be foolish and so much of what it calls just to be unjust. No, to call Messiah the courteous was not an uncommon thing 2,000 years ago. Rome sought to destroy the concept because they sought that men esteemed Greco-Roman rulers, polytheist rulers, innately unjust against the will of one, desired that they be called just. in a society that they sought to keep confused. But Romans, how about Romans 2:29 through 3 and 4? Perhaps we need to look at that. We need to look at all these things and see how they add up to say the same thing. Related truth, my brothers and sisters, that the rulers so often have preferred that men never give full consideration of. It says, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision, how about the opening of the heart? How about the opening of the mind? How about the opening of the spirit to perceive greater things of the Most High? For the heart, of the spirit, not merely the letter. What does that mean? Many read the words, but to know what it said and not know why it says, you miss the point. The Most High speaks by his spirit to relate the meaning. Blessed are they who will be guided by him. Talk about the true Jew. True child. You call the son of Judah. It's praise. Seeks to honor my brothers and sisters. Not men, but Yah. And you ask the question, what advantage then hath the Jew, one who seeks to praise Yah? What profit is there of circumcision? Talking about those who are called those of the circumcision who were to bring forth children after the spirit rather than after the flesh. Avowed unto faith to be a faithful people. Said much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles, covenant, the prophecies, the promises of Yah. If some did not believe, but what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of Yah without effect? Said Yah forbid. Let Yah be true and every man a liar. In other words, if a whole world be a liar, Yah will not be destabilized. He will yet be true to all his word. And we should understand this, that we recognize him as righteous and just. Above all else, above all others, and all that he says, that we might overcome, or that we might gain the victory, we shall be judged. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. These scriptures are in so many ways saying that it's who we consider to be just, and the Most High is indeed just and righteous in all he says and does. It's who we call just, my brothers and sisters, that we'll decide our fate. Shall a man say that another is wiser, more just than the Most High, and yet attain to his kingdom? Shall a man blaspheme and insult the will of Yah? Shall a man consider himself wiser than him who created all things, and still expect that the Most High will say that his ideas and thoughts and words have been praised? Think about it, my brothers and sisters. I want you to consider. How about looking a little bit further? What about, like I said, we looked at the scripture at Isaiah 42:1-4. It says, the isle shall wait for his law. In other words, the day will come when all will seek the justice of the one Most High, even the one whom the Most High sends, that all my brothers and sisters might revere and trust in the Most High. What about 1 Corinthians. Let's look there before we come back. 1 Corinthians. And understand what the apostle is really saying. 1 Corinthians. And what he's saying about the rulers. And what he's saying about so much of what the rulers have done behind closed doors for a very long time. And most have not discerned, my brothers and sisters, just how surreptitiously unjust they have been. 1 Corinthians 6. And one, dare any of you having a matter, a case against another, or a brother, if you will, go to law before the unjust? In other words, if you have a case that you would have settled justly, would you go before the unjust, or the wicked, the lawless, those who have no sense of divine justice? To seek justice? Would you prefer to go to the unjust civil authorities those whose laws in so many ways placates an unjust and irreverent and indiscriminate worldly status quo. Do you not know that the saints, in other words, those who are sanctified unto the Most High after His justice, shall judge the world, shall judge the worldly, shall just judge then, my brothers and sisters, all the rulers of the earth? Think about it. He said those who keep His works to the fullness, He will give authority over all the nations, even over all the rulers. He said, after the same authority He has, He shall also break the unjust, like the breaking of a potter's vessel. Read Psalms 2 and understand. He said those who walk after Him, He will give them the morning star. He will give them discretion to discern beyond all the darkness. Read on in the third chapter. It talks about that those who are to attain to this right to be judged in the earth, He said concerning them that their works, their sense of conscience, must indeed become perfect before the Most High, because He does not intend for this world to be judged according to injustice under the preservation of any manner of unrighteousness. He said, do you not know the saints, those who are consecrated truly unto Yah, those who He has confirmed as faithful in all things unto Him, true to all His law? He says they shall judge then all those who fall short, all those who have judged unjustly, having no desire for repentance and no desire for greater discretion. And He said, if the world should be judged by you, you who discern the fullness of His will, who will be approved in the eyes of Messiah because you, when you hear His word, you would obey. Are ye unworthy? Or shouldn't you be worthy then to judge some of the smallest matters? The apostles were reprimanding at the time. Many among the early church just beginning to awaken, yes. But think about it. In Moshe's time, we find the same thing. The days of Moses. Jethro, father of Moses' wife, told him that there was a need to appoint some wisest among the people to help with the judgment of the matters among the saints. Well, here the apostle is saying pretty much the same. Say in 1 Corinthians 6:3, you need to understand really what it's saying. Know you not that we shall judge? They put down angels, trying to throw you off. Know ye not that those who discern the righteousness of Yah on earth shall judge those who have been supposed messengers, leaders, judges? Think about it. If we shall judge our brothers and sisters, the rulers, and it even goes as far as, say, to judge the fallen angels, how much more the things that pertain to this life? We, who would be wise, should judge, my brothers and sisters, all the more so justly the things that pertain to the ways, the unjust ways of this world. And if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, in other words, if you discern what the Most High has declared should be justice in this world, understand, my brothers and sisters, if you have those among you who have this discretion, shouldn't they better be set to judge them who are least esteemed in the church? Shouldn't it be then rather that those who are oftentimes even most ridiculed for their greater discretion, do they not have even the greater right to be the judges? And he said, because so often leaders are set in place because they cater to compromises and hypocrisies of men. He said, I speak this to your shame. Is it so? Is it not so that there's not even one wise man among you? No, not one who's able to judge between his brother? In other words, judge justly? Why do you not seek a righteous judge who in all things would judge according to the righteousness of Yah? But brother goeth to court, he says, and talking about among the Gentiles, among the rulers of the nations. Brother goes to law with his brother. And that before unbelievers. Civil court. Well, I tell you what. The early church being taught by the apostles was to be taught and was being taught a level of synonymity. Those who walked after the Spirit began to discern, indeed, what is the righteousness of Yah, the ways that the world should be judged. And those in the church, most certainly. However, there were those, my brothers and sisters, who did not discern and did not seek fully what is divine justice. They said the Messiah is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and that means also Judge of Judges. But they still sought, and they talked about justice to cater to the designs of worldly kings. Shall Most High be at most pleased with this? What is it, my brothers and sisters, men have relied upon most? He says, now therefore, if there is a fault among you, utterly a fault among you, he asks, why do you go to law or go after worldly rulers? One against another. Why do you rather choose? How about those who are wrong to be your judges? Why then, in other words, get the point. If the rulers would never seek to show you indeed what is true justice according to all that is divine will, do you think they're going to take in consideration all that is divine will when they seek to settle your case? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I mean, it's amazing. They have folks in court to swear on a Bible they will uphold. It's amazing, the law of the land. Think about it. Swear on the Bible to uphold the law of the land. I did not say the law that's in that book. What an illusion. He asked the question, if you want true justice, why do you look to those who defraud you, who rob you, who will turn you aside from what is divine justice? And didn't he say he'd be a swift witness against those who rob the labor of his wages? Didn't he say he'd be a swift witness against all those who are partial in the law in Malachi? Didn't he say he'd be a swift witness, my brothers and sisters, all against all those who deal treacherously, every man against his brother, profaning the covenant? Didn't he say he'd be a swift witness, my brothers and sisters, even to destroy the temple, those who declare false gods, false standards, false rule among his people? Didn't he say earlier in 1 Corinthians even, those who defile the temple or who destroy the standard that is in it, Yah will destroy? Think about it. He's saying going after the misrule or seeking to be judged wise after the misrule or being even avenged in your offenses after the offenses of the unjust. You do wrong. Defraud yourself. You rob yourself and your brethren. Now I know there's a lot to be thought about there, surely. System we live in says that we're going to settle any cases so often that we need to come before them, the rulers. Wow. I want you to think, my brothers and sisters, in so many ways, men rely upon ruling power for justice. Because, my brothers and sisters, those who rule among the churches are so diverse and indiscriminate and without solidarity in their reasoning. So many times, since the rulers seem to be whatever is solvent, many would rather trust in them. But no, my brothers and sisters, the Most High is going to judge the rulers. You must keep that in mind. Know you not? Get what he's saying about the rulers. Know ye not that the unrighteous or the wicked shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. He's talking about the rulers here. What do they do? Say, be not deceived, neither fornicators. Yes, the rulers are. Nor idolaters. Yes, the rulers are. Now, understand what I'm saying. People in the church who know better than this sought to be judged by people who did all these things. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves. And what about in all the pagan feasts? Robbing one another and vast indiscretion. Hey, setting up laws to make it legal to do illegal things. Thieves, covetous. Hey, desirous of all manner of material wealth first before the righteousness of Yah. Having no respect for Yah. Drunkards. Yes, the rulers, all these things. Revilers, those who would revile true justice. Extortioners. Setting up all manner of misrule, like I said before, to find ways to make it legal to rob the people. Scripture says, such as this shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. Yet you go to them for justice. Think about it. And he says, and such as this for some of you, but you should be washed. You should be sanctified, seeking beyond all these things. You should be justified. Seek, in fact, what brethren says, what is just? What is righteous reproof? And the name or unto the honor of Yeshua, the Kurdi, by the Spirit of Yah, which teaches all things and reproves all sin. It's time we understand, my brothers and sisters, what these things mean. For indeed, when Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient, what he was saying was this. In so many ways, my brothers and sisters, we live in a society that men take all manner of liberties, but to the extent, my brothers and sisters, they even desire the unjust thing. Paul was beginning to talk about the idea that there were times when he might have been invited, for instance, to a pagan feast. Listen to what I'm saying. To a pagan's feast. Someone who might have wanted to know for the Most High and invited them in to learn the ways. And there were times, I can only tell you, if you read the 6th to the 7th, even out to parts of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you find that there were times that he might have sat at the table of a heathen, and knowing that they knew nothing else but their ways, he might have partaken for a moment in those things that were put upon the table. But it was ultimately, my brothers and sisters, to give others a chance. That's the reason why you find in the seventh chapter where the Apostle Shaul said, why do they not all have this conscience? In other words, if they put this stuff in front of me, it's not that he really wants it, but he said for sake of teaching the gospel for a moment, he would do it. But he certainly had every intention. Like if you look at Romans 14, he told him it's better. For that matter, in the 7th chapter, 8th chapter, it says, better he would eat no meat and drink no wine, to do anything by which he called his brother to stumble. Meaning, for those who didn't understand the difference between kosher and unkosher meat, some who would take advantage of alcohol to the point that they'd be drunk, he'd rather do neither. Something to think. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them. And certainly if these people were to grow in the knowledge of the gospel, they would surely be taught better. It's kind of like somebody might go amongst a crowd of men who are smokers, for instance. I mean, certainly I don't. But I might, if I saw such a crowd, go into the midst to try to tell them about what they were doing. Now, if they like my company, next time around, somebody might put out a few cigarettes. But if they continue to do the same, it becomes quite obvious that my company is not welcome. Well, in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, man has to be discerned or brought to discretion of what the Most High is pleased with. And the Most High will have patience upon those who seek him constantly, that they overcome the unrighteousness of their indiscretion. One scripture said, if a man sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. In other words, the Most High grants him an opportunity to reprove him. Believe me, I remember when I first began to wake up, how the first thing came to my mind, oh, what a blessed thing it was. The Most High reached down so low to raise up someone who knew at first so little. Well, like I said, Most High knows full well that if he's going to wake up the souls of those who have no discipline in a world, my brother and sister, where none teach it, he has reached down sometimes pretty low and try to raise some of us up. And those who are most, this is they have the greatest gratitude among us, will be thankful for that opportunity. Or will seek to be true to that opportunity to be constantly taught by him. For he alone, my brothers and sisters, is the one who can perfect the mind and heart and soul to become true unto him. Abraham, scripture says, he believed Yah. It was counted him for righteousness. If he hadn't believed Most High, could he be brought unto the perfect will of Yah? He was told to walk after the perfect will of Yah, and that would be a blessing to all nations. Reward, my brothers and sisters, not only to his children, but ultimately unto a world. Messiah said, for their sakes I am sanctifying myself, seeking the perfect will of Yah, consecrating myself after the perfect will of Yah. Shall not we, my brothers and sisters, who are offered the opportunity to see the greater vision, should we not seek that greater vision? Should we sometimes, my brothers and sisters, be willing to have patience upon those who lack knowledge that they might gain it? That's the ultimate goal. Because quite frankly, only those who desire such discretion will, my brothers and sisters, be sealed and confirmed that they survive the time of judgment that is to come. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, all who choose to reason as one after the rights of the Most High, well, they have an opportunity unto life. But those who will not, the scripture says, they will fall by the sword. In the mouth of the Most High himself has spoken it. Blessed are they who will come to him early, seeking his righteousness, that they might give indeed due praise unto him. Well, I'm looking at the time, about 16 minutes, and I know it's late. I want to try to get through much of this as quickly as I can, and the point be made. I sought, like I said, this past weekend to explain some things to someone who didn't want to believe it, but all the prophecies do say over and over again that in the signs appearing, that man would be found not to have the kind of discretion necessary to recognize his righteousness and to know to follow it. Much prophecy says it again and again. In the last few nights, I've quoted so much of it. Isaiah 59, Psalm 14, Psalm 53. The 41st chapter of Isaiah, about going around the 21st to the 42-4 verses. What's said in Luke? We talked about the scriptures in Luke. We've been talking about it lately where Messiah said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Scripture says he does not come by easy observation. In other words, after the conscience of men, he will not be discerned. So much scripture talks about man having to be restored to a level of conscience to be able to discern righteousness or even a righteous one. If men, my brothers and sisters, discern righteousness so well, it wouldn't be so difficult for man to believe when the truth appears. Luke 18:2, he said there was in a city, a judge. We talked about all the scriptures that talk about the city of destruction on the shows the last few nights. If you haven't heard those, please go back and listen again. He says there was in a city a judge which feared not Yah. Get the point. Had no reverence for divine command. He was a judge, but it didn't mean that he respected divine law. He respected his own. He did not fear Yah, nor did he regard men. He was all about himself. 2 Thessalonians, in particular, 2:4, talking about one who exalts himself above all things. Daniel 11:36 speaks about the same thing. Talk about the nature of the judges of the earth. Ultimately, in their ambitions, all they truly are concerned about is, hey, I even heard two people talk about being politicians, or who they vote for as politicians. Everybody's looking at his own best interests, or what he thinks is his own best interest, not considering that if a man leads a man astray from the will of Yah, it's unto his destruction. But many of my brothers and sisters, being those who don't believe, believe that they could profit simply because they appeal to those ruling powers under the status quo, who are judged according to what appeases their own hearts. Even though in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, this carnality is a compromise, an hypocrisy, a blasphemy against the will of Yah, the perfect will of Yah, because there is only one. And it says there was a widow in that city. Maybe you need to know something about the concept of what was said about widows so often in Hebrew society. It was the duty of the man to learn the will of Yah that might be taught to the family. And so often he was allowed to move into circles where truths were told, that he should come home and make sure that all in the family understood. But in this case, you have a widow. Might not have had as many, if you understand what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, round about her to assure that she understood all the workings of, let's just say those, or let's just say the ideals of those who supposedly had a sense of justice in society, supposedly being led by Yah. Like I said, the men were supposed to come to the congregation. Not to say the women weren't, but particularly the men would gather and be assured that the ways of Yah were preserved among the tribes. So there was a widow in that city. She came into an unjust judge. Notice I said she didn't have a husband or someone to go to the court, the male court, the court of, of all the men, to assure that the things were dealt with rightly. So she went to an unjust judge, saying, "Avenge me of my adversary, those who are, whoever it is that oppressed or had dealt with her unjustly." And said the unjust judge would not avenge her for a while. He didn't really care. But afterward he said to himself, "Though I fear not Yah, though I fear not even Yah, nor regard men, yet because this widow will continue to come in trouble and vex me continually, pleading her case, say, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming again and again, pleading, she would vex me." Yeshua said, "Note then what even an unjust judge said. It shall not Yah, then, my brothers and sisters, avenge his own elect, which cry out, how about for his justice?" Cry out day and night, according to seeking his justice, because he rather would have patience upon them. Like I said, judges in this world oftentimes are not necessarily they're concerned about the people as much as they're concerned about their esteem and their ability to write laws whereby they could exploit men unto their own personal advantage. He says, "I tell you that he will avenge his own who trust him." In other words, he won't tarry. He will avenge his own who trust in him speedily. Say, nevertheless, then, when the Son of Man, as a righteous judge, comes, one scripture says in Isaiah 59, he comes for the sake of those who would turn from transgression. Scripture says he shall judge justly for the meek, the poor, the oppressed of the earth. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. I tell you, he will judge his own who trust him. He won't tarry. For the sake of those, my brothers and sisters, who would have faith in him and the earth. He says, however, when he returns, will he find that faith? Will he find people looking for divine justice avenged and established, avenged to be established on earth? Or will he find men's trust preferentially after hypocrites, unrighteous men, misrepresentatives, having no real respect for divine command? Isaiah 50:10, how about 51 through 5, speaks about how in Messiah's appearing, he will ask of the people, why when I came was there none to answer? When I spoke was there none to listen? Why, as it says in Isaiah 53, ultimately, it's an Isaiah prophecy as well. Messiah in his appearing says he has no beauty nor comeliness for which men should esteem. In other words, doesn't mean he has an ugly appearance. It means that in so many ways the beauty of his thoughts, because they don't flatter those who trust in the status quo, because they reprove everywhere he looks, many would choose not to esteem, but to ridicule. Like I said, need to listen to the shows the last few nights and understand what I'm talking about. Why would he have to cry out, hearken and hear my speech? Lest your bonds be made tighter. Read Isaiah 28 and understand. Well, the allusions are the comparisons in this parable in Luke 17. We're starting by Luke 17, 20 out to this 18 and 8. All directly allude and give reference to Zephaniah 3 and 1. You need to read Zephaniah 3rd chapter, my brothers and sisters. Really, Zephaniah, starting around 2:15, talking about that so-called oppressive and so, but so-called claiming unto itself saved city. Ah, my brothers and sisters, in that city, I can tell you, even now, I said even now, examples of all manner of variant miscreant religion the world over. And the Most High already said that at that place, what he reproved or began to reprove a whole world. But how many understand this? Like I said, I've been talking about this much lately. Please go back through the archives and listen closely, my brothers and sisters. I promise there's not anything there that won't be a blessing to those who understand the implications of what has been spoken. How about 2:15? Say, this is the rejoicing city. Some say the saved city. They dwell securely. Say they're saved. Say they're true to the Most High. Say they won't have to deal with any reproof in his day. And the day of the Most High comes to judge his people. It says that they are righteous. They can say there's none besides me. In other words, get the point. They say I am and there's none besides me. If you go back in Isaiah 47, it talks about Babylon. It says that there's none else but the one Most High. But they are wearied in the multitude of corrupt ways. So understand, my brothers and sisters, what is being said here. This is the great city Babylon. Think about it. That's written mission about in Revelation 18. It says how this city will become a desolation. Scripture talks about in Isaiah 19:18-25 about a city called the city of destruction. Isaiah 24 calls it the city of confusion. It says it be laid in desolation. Why? Because it didn't hearken the Most High when it had the opportunity. It become a place for beasts to lie down. Oh, read Isaiah 13, read Revelation 18 and see how it all compares. Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his head. There's a shame of it. Woe to her, that filthy city and polluted city, the oppressing city. It's all spoken about Messiah being in the midst. She obeyed not the voice. A righteous judge came in the midst, but she would not obey. She would not receive correction. She trusted not in the Most High, or the voice, the Most High, the Most High, the voice, the Most High himself sent. Speaking of Messiah himself, my brothers and sisters, yes, speaking of Messiah himself, and would not draw near unto him who reveals, indeed, if you will, the righteousness of Yah. Her rulers, unjust judges, within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bone to the marrow, which means they devour everything in sight. They bring forth no justice. Her prophets, false prophets, are vain. My brothers and sisters, unjust people, treacherous persons. Her priests don't preach what is righteous, but they pollute the sanctuary. They do violence to the law. And after such injustice, the people have been misled. But the just Lord, the righteous one, the Lord of righteousness, read Jeremiah 23, is in the midst of that city. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his justice to light. He does not fail. But the unjust, unjust judges and those who follow them will not discern after his proof their shame. So the Most High says, I will cut off the nations, and the towers he will lay desolate. All my brothers and sisters, do you not understand this is the same scripture saying how Messiah, because the rulers would not listen, will prove all nations from that place? He says, therefore, in Zephaniah 3 and 6, therefore I've cut off the nations, their towers, all the strong things they have built, be laid desolate, city left in desolation. I made the streets waste, that none passes by, the cities will be destroyed. Sounds like Isaiah 25, 1 through 3 to me. So that men will finally have their eyes open. So there's no man and none inhabitant. Compare that to Isaiah 24 concerning what it says about the time of judgment. Zephaniah 3 and 7 kind of sounds like something in the testimony of Jeremiah. Ezekiel as well. Supposedly the people would listen to the prophet, but no, they would not. He said, I said, surely they will fear me and respect my words.
90 seconds.
So their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I would have to punish them because they rose up early and corrupted all their doings. I have just a little bit of time left. So therefore, wait, Most High says, and seek upon me. Expect the day that all the nations shall wait for, seek after his righteousness, his law, says the Most High. And until the day when he rises up for the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations. Like he said, he would gather
60
all
seconds.
The people. How about even all the unjust rulers among the nations? He would gather all their precepts to one place. Did you hear, my brothers and sisters? He would gather them all to one place. What did he say he would do? By determination to gather the nations, all the unjust doctrines and rules and standards of the nation, the marks of the beast. Gather them all that he may assemble the kingdom, to pour upon them his great indignation, his wrath, my brothers and sisters, even all his fear and anger. For all the earth shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. We're talking about the same manner of testimony, my brothers and sisters. The same manner of testimony after which he said he would reprove all the nations. Same thing that said in Isaiah 16:12-21. Messiah, the king of the east, at a particular city, where all the rulers of the nations are gathered, that he might reprove them all, and all the cities of the nations fall, all the injustices among the nations, the unjust standards among the nations that men have trusted, all proven foolish. Read Isaiah 44th chapter and discern the same. So many scriptures, my brothers and sisters. Isaiah 29, men thinking that what they had was just good. Some scriptures, because they might say good doctrine, good food. Wake up, find they're hungry and famished, and they had nothing. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time we discern far better. He says, for then, after he has shown the world the injustice of his ways, will he convert the people unto a pure speech, a pure language, a pure testimony, that they may all call upon the name of the Most High, be confirmed with the seal of the knowledge of his covenant, to serve him with one consent. What does it say at 3:13? And the remnant of Israel then was, do no iniquity, nor speak lies. Read, my brothers and sisters, closely the scriptures between the 6th and 7th out to the 14th chapter of Revelation. And see what it says, my brothers and sisters, in that day, after finally are released upon the earth the angels of wrath, though one had come for a moment to say, heard not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we seal the servants of Yah upon their brows. And some will be wise enough in the fall of that city to come quickly to discern what is necessary, that they become true to the Most High. But those who would not listen, well, 9:4 Revelation says the wrath of Yah would fall indeed upon them. 14th chapter, my brother and sister, speaks about a people finally redeemed, worthy. It might be said the name of the Father is written upon their brows, because it was written in mind and heart, the truth of a righteous law, which the Most High himself has spoken, and their hearts are willing to receive it. It says the remnant of Israel will not do iniquity, nor speak lies, no false doctrine, neither shall the deceitful tongue be found in their mouths, but they shall feed and lie down, and none shall oppress, none shall make them afraid. For those of you, my brothers and sisters, who are willing to be diligent, seeking the truth of what the scriptures have related as a scenario toward the redemption of this world, toward the hope of peace, and more than the hope, my brothers and sisters, the promise of peace. For those who will be diligent, I'm telling you now, there's a serious need, absolute need, to read the words the Most High has granted me. My website, hiddengospel.com. Read it with the Bible wide open. Articles like The Secret City Prophecies, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. They demand the attention, my brothers and sisters, of those who would seek the greater things. As the scriptures told you in advance, the rulers keep seeking to keep the people in prison and injustice would not speak. Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation, Mutual Forgotten Expectation. Yes, it's on my website as well. You will find the URLs where you can find these articles. Hey, in the chat, you will find them also, my brothers and sisters, at the opening screens to this show. You need those articles, my brothers and sisters. You need the truth that is there. I pray the Most High will compel your heart to pray to him, to discern the truths, my brothers and sisters, that for a long time have been so drastically misunderstood and neglected. Please, my brothers and sisters, for holy name's sake, seeking beyond every man's self-righteousness, desire that the light of the Most High should shine forth in the earth to cast out all the darkness. Articles like Tribulation 70 to 365 AD. Remember the promise, the gospel of Shiloh. Woe to the shepherds, you need them all. I say, my brothers and sisters, without a question, there is a gift to those who will discern the truths of the Most High that for so long, my brothers and sisters, this world has sought to neglect. I thank the Most High indeed, my brothers and sisters, for every ear that he brings near. I do thank you all indeed for listening. I know it's a little late, but I wanted to put this out for those who might listen among the archives in the day to come, because I know that there are many. I look oftentimes at the record of the numbers of those who subscribed and those who download the show and the archives, and I know there are many who I may not see oftentimes in a live show, but they do seek to regularly keep up with what's going on, so they might not miss the building blocks that will help to create, ultimately, unto the Most High, a very glorious temple. So the Most High has promised it. So shall it be. Unto his might, unto his honor, and unto his praise always, my brothers and sisters, thanking him always for every ear that he brings near. I thank you all for listening, my brothers and sisters. Yes, I do. I thank the Most High, indeed, for all and every year that he brings in. Unto his might, his honor, and his praise always. Have a very blessed night, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah!